The bane of Wall Street is uncertainty, and today, much of that was cast aside. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 24th day of November. Thanks again for being with us. Meanwhile, toilet paper is once again in short supply. Purdue Pharma has pled guilty in the OxyContin saga. UPS is stepping into the cold. I mean, really cold. Housing prices are up again. DoorDash and Instacart drivers are in for an executive-style perk. We've got the Wall Street Report and say goodbye to another age-old office event. For the interview, Joe Galasso from Protective Environmental Systems talks cleaning, sanitizing, and disinfection in terms we can all understand. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a Paychex company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com, and AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, reach us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. In all the years we've been sharing the business news with you, our constant has been the fact that uncertainty is what plays havoc with the markets. Well, yesterday, much of the uncertainty over a smooth transition of power at the White House was put to rest, and today, even more uncertainty was dashed as President-elect Joe Biden announced several cabinet officials, all that spell a return to a more measured approach to governance. The markets, they reacted yesterday, and today they reacted as well, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. Well, it's happening again. The coronavirus pandemic has upended the toilet paper market. As states opened back up for the summer and the spike in demand from anxious customers leveled off, items like wet wipes and toilet paper were back on the shelves again. That is, until the surge of infections nationwide began in late October, and that has led to millions of Americans to return to bulk buying in a lockdown mode. Now, toilet paper has developed a reputation as a must-have pandemic product. Not only is it a basic necessity, it's relatively cheap to buy in bulk and will certainly be used at a later date. For the average consumer, it's much easier to assume that the lack of four packs at the store lies with some neighborhood panic buyer who got their hands on multiple TP rolls before everybody else. Yet the shortage in some areas isn't entirely the result of hoarding. There are major problems in the supply chain. Demand is way up and suppliers have experienced serious disruptions. But that's just not for toilet paper. To put it simply, many American companies are heavily reliant on overseas suppliers, primarily from China, for raw materials or for finished products. Any delay overseas can create a domino effect in terms of product availability. Add to that the buying, add to that difficulty in transportation issues, and you get, yeah, empty shelves. Purdue Pharma pled guilty today to three criminal charges, formally admitting its role in an opioid epidemic that's contributed to hundreds of thousands of deaths over the past two decades. In a virtual hearing with a federal judge in Newark, New Jersey, the OxyContin maker admitted impeding U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration efforts to combat the addiction crisis. CBS News says that Purdue acknowledged that it had not maintained an effective program to prevent prescription drugs from being diverted into the black market, even though it had told the DEA that it did have such a program. The company said it provided misleading information to the agency as a way to boost company manufacturing quotas. The company also admitted paying doctors through a speakers program to induce them to write more prescriptions for its painkillers. And finally, it admitted paying an electronic medical records company to send doctors information on patients that encouraged them to prescribe opioids. The deal, at the end, will cost the company roughly $8 billion. In a bit of vaccine news, Bloomberg is reporting that UPS, the United Parcel Service, has set up its own dry ice production facility and will provide portable super cold freezers to its healthcare customers as the courier prepares for the massive rollout of COVID-19 vaccines. According to a statement, UPS can make as much as 1,200 pounds of dry ice an hour near its Worldport Air Hub in Louisville, Kentucky, and can ship it the next day to U.S. and Canadian hospitals and clinics. UPS will also source dry ice from third-party makers near air hubs in Dallas and Ontario, California. In addition, UPS is offering to deliver and hook up the small freezers made by partner Sterling UltraCold for care providers that don't have permanent facilities to keep vaccines from spoiling. The Federal Housing Finance Agency's quarterly housing price index rose by 3.1% in the third quarter over what was reported in the second quarter, and it's the largest gain since data has been collected starting back in 1991. Low mortgage rates and a limited supply of homes is being responsible for the price surge. DoorDash and Instacart drivers may be about to get paid in a way that's long been reserved for executives, and that is with corporate stock. Under a plan announced today by the Securities and Exchange Commission, drivers, people who deliver food and other so-called gig workers who've become critical parts of the U.S. economy, will be eligible to receive up to 15% of their compensation in shares. The SEC proposal, which is mostly focused on pre-public companies, would also amend securities rules to make it easier for the businesses running apps to issue stock to those workers, many of whom are classified as independent contractors instead of employees. U.S. stocks rallied today, and the Dow captured a psychological milestone as investors cheered progress toward a smooth transition of power at the White House. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 455 points, or 1.5%, to close at 30,046, the first time over 30,000 ever. The S&P 500 gained 58 points, 1.6%, ending at 3635. The NASDAQ was up 156 points, or 1.3%, finishing at 12,036. Markets are looking past what's likely to be a difficult period as the coronavirus ramps up and anticipating stronger growth in 2021. Travel stocks like American Airlines and United Airlines were among the S&P 500's biggest gainers today, but a reading of consumer confidence released this morning was weaker than economists had expected and suggested households may retreat rather than spend this winter. And finally, there is this. Yet another well-known office adventure seems to be on the rocks. In the wake of the economic recessions, the Me Too movement, and the pandemic, young workers are turning their backs on office romance. Millennials and Gen Zers are increasingly shunning workplace romance as a bad idea, but that hasn't killed office love just yet. While some companies have completely banned romantic relationships between certain employees, others are experimenting with disclosure policies, so-called love contracts, and other dating provisions to help manage the flame. Gosh, see what you learn here? Stay with us, because coming up next, and for the interview, we'll hear some straight talk about cleaning, sanitizing, and disinfecting. Hey, if what to do has you confused, you are not alone. But Joe Galasso from Protective Environmental Systems is in to explain so much about what we thought was the right thing to do to stay safe may not necessarily be the right thing to do. Confused? Stick with us. Joe Galasso, coming up next.